the news to those who drink from the well. My name's Jane, and alongside me are my friends and yours, Sarah Wells, Kevin Tinkin, and today in the studio, we have our producer, Andrew File.
Yes.
What's up?
Feels good to be here for an intro.
We are so glad you're here.
Feels good to have you feel good.
Well, it kind of feels like we're also cheating though, right, guys?
Yeah. So you may have heard last week's short little episode that Christian and Andrew actually did about Serve Day.
Yeah. Without the rest of the team knowing.
Right. So in that episode.
Hey, not my idea. Right.
Is that what happened?
Uh-huh. Yes. You didn't listen?
No, well, because I got the text message, spout today, we're going to do it, and then no spout.
So in that episode, Christian mad apologizes to all of us that he didn't set us up right, that he feels bad that he's such a control freak. Well, little does he know, we've been planning on recording without him all this time.
Yeah.
So Christian,
jokes on him.
We love you and we miss you, but... while dad's in Israel, the kids will play. So here we are. Uh-huh. Hey guys, we have a great show for you. We will wrap up 1 Corinthians 7 with sermon discussion guy, just talking about whether you're single or married, you should be living your life for Christ. And then we also have a special guest that we're going to interview. It's actually her birthday. Kim File, she'll be up as our interviewee. She has a pretty cool hobby, so you don't want to miss that. It's pretty rockin'. We're super glad you joined us. And and the music, Kim picked herself too, so birthday girl special. Stay tuned. We're going to have a little break, and then we'll be back with some sermon discussion.
Eternity is forever. And Paul is saying here, our appointed time has grown very short. You see, there's an urgency, Paul, that's going to be bringing to this letter, bringing to singles, bringing to virgins, bringing to the married. There's an urgency saying, listen, eternity's coming and you need to act in light of that. You need to have an eternal perspective. Christ's return is imminent. He will come for his bride, the church. And our lives here on earth in this shortened time should be a reflection of what is to come.
All right, so that was Jared Rumley preaching this last week. Kind of wrapping up, we've been in 1 Corinthians 7 for a long time. So that was the last series, 7, 25 through 40. So yeah, I think the heart, you know, from at least what I heard in gathering is that, you know, our focus, like Jared said, is eternity, but it really does matter how we live in this earth, that we really need to be, conscious and living as people that are looking towards a greater end and looking towards the ultimate purpose in life. It often we get caught up in little details or feeling like we're too busy for this or that. And I think it seemed like a challenge to the singles to live well while you have fewer responsibilities. You made a lot of jokes and references to, Kevin, you know this, life as a parent and all the things that go with it. So, I mean, I think, though, it was a good takeaways. I think for me, even now with a kid, like, I think it all still applies. It's all the same that it really does matter. But I think, I'd be interested to see how you guys took it, being single and,
I really liked it because, I mean, I do think sometimes, like, gosh, when I just get married, like, my life is going to be exactly what I want it to be and like perfect and all my problems are gonna be solved and like
have you been paying attention to my marriage? is that what that's based on?
Oh yeah, Jenny's dreams came true with you,
right,
Kevin? Absolutely.
Every day's a soap opera.
So I mean it was definitely a good reminder to think, man, I am living probably the easiest life right now, and like I'm living a life that is distraction-free, and then just the challenge of where is my focus, and seeing so much of my focus is on myself, and I'm so selfish with that, and just the push to really use this time to, like, intentionally follow Christ while I don't have to be serving a husband,
Yeah.
So...
I really, really liked it because I feel like, especially in church culture, there is such a push to get married and married early. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of us, especially girls, we kind of make marriage the end all be all. Like what Jane said, like I totally had, like I'm like that too. Like, oh, once I get married, then X, Y, and Z will happen. And in reality, like you do have barfing babies all night long, or you're changing mm-hmm. poopy diapers. You can't go for a weekend at the coast without thinking about X, Y, and Z, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And life isn't about finding a mate. Life is about serving the Lord the best way you can in whatever season you're in. And I love that he spoke to that because I feel like we are told the opposite all the time. And it's something I can get fired up about. So I was really pumped that I thought it was great that he did such a great job.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Denise and I are in this season of really thinking through, because I think it's like, it's just, it kind of goes with PJ's message, you know, was it last week?
Yeah.
Or yeah, about, you know, being content where you're at. And I think mm-hmm. it's just, there's something in all of us that the grass is always greener. Like sure. We always feel, you know, I always say, man, we'll get through this season. And then like life is, you know, like right now I feel myself going, once we hit June, like life's going to slow down. Yeah. It's like, it will not slow down. Like
for sure.
My priorities need to change now, not later.
Yeah. You know? It's like we live life so like comparing, you know, and mm-hmm. Jared even mentioned that quote by, was it Tim Keller? No.
Piper,
that God's most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in mm-hmm. him. And like mm-hmm. to not compare, because I'm never going to be happy if I'm like looking at Jenny's life or, you know,
would be happy.
like it's never going to be enough for me if I'm like consistently comparing myself mm-hmm. to what everybody else has.
I remember last when we did Song of Solomon, you know, years ago, there was a women's panel night and one of the women said, if you are single, don't wish you were anything other than single because you'll never be here again. For if sure. you're dating, don't wish you're engaged because you'll never be dating again. Like, and she kind of went through all of life's phases. Like if you have a baby, don't wish that it was a 5-year-old because you'll never get baby stage again. And mm-hmm. I thought that was so cool. Like, don't wish you were anywhere else because this is where the Lord has you right now and you may never be here again. So sure. live it up, you know.
I like to summarize all the sermons in like really cheesy cliches, but
oh,
I wrote down like bloom where you're planted. The thing that he quoted says, it won't be happy, you'll be most happy when you understand who you are in Christ, not when X happens, not when whatever happens.
Yeah.
And stop waiting to serve Christ. And he said something else. It was like, how you do what you do matters in service of God, not what you do. And mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, these last 2 weeks have been really frustrating because I don't want to sell cell phones anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be called to, like, serve God, not sell cell phones, because I can't. I can't serve the Lord selling cell phones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're the devil's tool. Of communication.
Which is funny because I'm on the opposite end, Kevin, and I'm going, man, if I just didn't work at a church,
for
like
sure.
I would be in a sphere of influence, you know, because I used to teach. I'm like,
right.
man, maybe I should just go back to being a teacher because then I could interact with the world. And I'm sure right when I get back to teaching, then totally. I'd be like, yeah. man, oh I wish goodness. I could work at the well again.
Yeah, and, I was about to say the same thing because I guess I've been in ministry full-time for 7 years now, and like, what would it look like if I didn't work in a faith-based organization? Mm-hmm. Like, what if I were out in the normal community?
I think it's the grass is truly greener for always.
Sure. Yeah. And I've talked to PG about this before, but like, I want the Lord to have like a specific will for my life. Like, I want him to tell me, this is where I want you to go, this is where I want you to marry, this is where I want you to live, so it's easier for me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm having choices. God planned my life out for me.
Yeah.
And in reality, like, that's the beauty of Christian freedom, is that we get to choose mm-hmm. where we want to serve the Lord. And sometimes I think he does have specific will, but like, that's hard for me to swallow that he yeah. doesn't. And right. but that's the truth, is that he wants you to work at a church or at a school or selling cell phones. Yeah. Just serve him while you're there.
Yeah. Right.
I don't like that, but
yeah, I loved how he unpacked that yesterday, or not yesterday, last week, PJ, when he mm-hmm. basically said, is it God's will for my life to marry my wife? And he said, I knew it was when we got married.
Yeah.
It's just like, if you're doing it, it's God's will. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I don't want to get too into that, you know, because there's obviously situations, but if mm-hmm. you are where you are, be where you are and be, you know, salt and light to where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. if that means you literally just took the needle out of your arm and you're going to serve God, like, make that decision as the needle's coming out.
Yeah.
Make that decision and serve God in those circumstances. Don't go, oh, I got to get sober, or I got to stop doing this, or I've got to
work at a church.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, just serve God. Like, stop making excuses. This is me yelling at myself, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all preaching to ourselves.
Yeah. Sure. You know, because it's easy to make excuses.
I think another excuse that I was just talking to a few friends about the other day is I'm waiting to hear from the Lord, you know, and mm-hmm. someone said, well, there was only one burning bush and there was only one time that a fleece was thrown out. And like
PJ was saying that.
Yeah.
Was it him?
Yeah, yeah. It was PJ in the office.
In the office.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a friend.
So what? Yeah.
Be real. Have you guys ever done that?
Oh, absolutely.
Have you ever thrown a towel on the grass?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, not like physically.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Wait, what?
Like where you test God and say, okay, yeah. Lord, no. If I hit all the green lights on my way to church, that means you want me to do blah, blah, blah. I've done that before.
This is how church kids explain stuff. It's the story of this guy in the Old Testament. And he basically asked God a question. Help me out, people who know the actual people of the story.
I don't remember who it was.
I don't know what story
it was. Our name is Moses. Yeah, well, so wait, wait, Dave. Right, Dave knows.
Moses in the burning bush?
No. It's okay. Gideon. I know it's
there
Gideon.
We go. Okay, so Gideon throws a fleece out on the ground. Okay. And every morning there's going to be dew on the ground because it, whatever. And so he says, if there's not dew on the fleece, then I know that this is
what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do. And then, so that happens. And there's dew everywhere, and there's none in the fleece. And the next day he says, okay.
Now
so
I'll get him.
If there's dew on the fleece, but not everywhere else, then twice, and it happens the second time. But that's not going to happen.
No.
But I literally, what I was saying is, I literally have taken a bath towel.
Did it work?
No, it didn't work.
Kevin, that's so funny.
I was trying to figure out if God wanted me to go to Tenaya Middle School or back to Fresno Christian.
So you were in junior high.
I was in junior high.
So this wasn't last week.
Okay.
This is how hyper-spiritual I was as a junior high kid.
I talked to PJ about those types of things. Cause I'm like, no, God has a specific will for some people. I mean, come on. And he said, well, Sarah, just know that if you're one of those people, you're not going to doubt it. Like, you'll know. There'll be some divine call and you will just know. Because I think, what if I'm missing it? What if I'm not listening? What if I'm not reading my Bible enough?
Yeah.
Like, then I'll really hear the call. But he said, that's just not the norm. That is the exception.
You want to hear a really deep, dark secret about that story?
Absolutely.
So during that same time, I had a dream that I was at Tenaya Middle School and that I was standing on top of a table and it was kind of like a food fight. And I was like yelling at people and whatnot and what anyway. But then I woke up and I told my parents that I knew that I had to go to Tenaya because I had a dream that I was at Tenaya preaching to people on top of a picnic table.
Oh my gosh. Such a story twister.
My buddy told me that.
Don't let a little light get in the way of a good story.
I know. Yeah, well, my buddy told me that one of the girls I'd like had gotten even prettier over summer. So I was like, the Lord wants me to go there.
There.
Yeah.
Did you end up going?
Yeah, I did.
Was she prettier?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's wrangle this one back in. We're story time here, but
I'm sorry.
No, that's great. That's funny. So takeaways. So, I mean, what do you guys? What's the application for you as you walk out this week?
Man, you go, Sarah. Are you gonna say something?
Well, I just like that you talked about having an eternal perspective because when you have an eternal perspective, that changes everything. It changes the way I live my day. It changes the way I think or what I do. And I have to kind of slap myself sometimes and remind myself, like, nope, you're not just done when you die. Like, this is just a tiny blip on eternity's radar. Mm-hmm. So that's just a good reminder.
Yeah, I'd say very similar. You know, when I was joking with my buddy because he did say, don't get distracted. Like, that's basically the entire sermon was don't get distracted by this, he just went through the nouns, you know, it's just like all these things and serve God where you're at. And so I don't know how to motivate myself to do that. I really don't. But I'm trying. I've been praying. I literally been praying for the last, since PJ was up there, because I felt like his joking kind of pierced me a little bit. You know, how do you know it's God's will? Well, if you're doing it, it's God's will. So I was like, okay, I'm an idiot. I just like, use me today. Like at the very least, God, help me to not hinder somebody from getting closer to you. Like, at the very least, like, you know, because that's half the time I feel like I open my mouth, I'm like, somebody's going, oh, yeah, I'm going to be Buddhist now. You know, so that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, but look at how he used Moses in the Bible with Aaron and Moses' stutter problem and all that stuff, and how he like really affected.
It's doable. I mean, if he can fix Moses.
Kevin, you're going to be the next Moses.
If he can fix
either
me.
That or we'll pray for an Aaron for you.
I'm going to start carrying a staff.
Okay. Will you turn it into a snake?
I will do my best.
How about
best.
Turn the water into wine?
I'll do my best.
Easy, Jane. Easy.
Slow down. Slow
summertime.
Down. Just kidding.
Jane, how about for you?
You know, I think it's the same thing I just kind of talked about was like really like intentionally focusing on how I can serve God in like today, which is kind of just what you said. But I don't know. Just like really thinking about not like getting ahead of myself and not like, I don't think it's wrong to be hopeful, but like the minute that you like make that the end all be all, mm-hmm. then that's where you're just going to be disappointed in so many things. And I live my life with really high expectations of myself and others and just realizing like, not specifically from the sermon, it did like kind of touch on it, but that I just need to like be serving God in the moment and not like having expectations of my future at all, because who knows how it's going to be. I mean, I can hope that it's like marriage, kids, this like really awesome home one day, you know, like I'm going to marry for money. But
who's it? Rogers? Aaron Rogers.
Aaron Rogers. Oh.
Easy.
She's a little flustered. She's a little red
about
cheeks.
Wine.
What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, we're getting Levi, my 7-month-old, dedicated this Sunday. So those kind of things together, I think we're really like this. Oh wow, I gotta. One of the questions we had to answer for it is, what are our family values?
Yeah,
our family mission statement kind of thing. And I was like, what's that? You know, like, what does that mean? And so I think these kind of last week, this week, it's like, I think, you know, and I'm an achiever. So like, I need to have the purpose and the end goal. And like, you know, what would it, you know, kind of with what Jared said, what would it actually look like to, as a family, live life well, mm-hmm. you know, and to put that on paper. And then, you know, then you're able to go backwards and go, what are some things we could do as a family to actually see that happen? Because I've already seen, I'm like 7 months already. Like time flies. Yeah. And so we got to use the time that we have now as a family well. And so I think we're in a season of reflecting as a family and going, what does it look like for us to live life well with kids as a family? And how could we do that? And then let's work backwards and figure out what that is. So that's kind of the, you know, takeaway is just really think about that and sink into that now, you know, while Levi's still little. And
cool.
Kids are an amazing timeline to show you how horrible of a person you are sometimes. Because they repeat everything and then you realize like, oh, I remember when I had that conversation and saying, I want to do this. And you know, Will wasn't even drinking out of a cup and now he's almost 4 and I'm like, I'm still trying to work on these decisions that I made, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, well, and the other piece I wanted to chat through is Serve Day. So Serve Day rolled out. I did the announcements after the service, and so the sermon played, you know, Brad's piece was 5 or 6 minutes, and I get up and everybody's just staring at me, like blank stares, what just happened? Dead, awkward silence.
Oh, no.
And I'm just like, oh, wow. Like, I don't know if people understand what's going down right now.
You guys
had
a coffee or something?
Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know. How did it go at the campuses you guys are at, or how did you hear that message from Brad and just the challenge of Serve Day? We talked a little bit about it last week, me and Christian did on the Spoutcast, but, you know, what did you hear from the little video and the packet and, you know, throw that out there.
I think the main gist of what I heard was it's going to be very similar to what we did last year, and that was taking a service project or a day of service or a whatever, a serving thing that you do and make it your own. You know, make it your own. Do it on your own. We're not going to do some corporate thing. We're going to try to spark, you know, the desire in your own heart to do it. And I liked the fact that last year we had $5. Was $5 last year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the fact that they just did $1 because I think I don't think it has anything to do with the amount. Mm-mm. I think it has more to do with the fact that there is a responsibility about getting that money that's mm-hmm. not yours. It's actually like God's money. Like everything's God's money, but this like really feels like God's money. And I think it's because it's in a folder or something, but, Yeah, so take something and make your own. I thought Brad was pretty clear. And then when you were saying that, I was thinking, well, maybe if I hadn't been here last year, then that could be really confusing. Yeah. But I think that's a gist. Do something to serve for the purpose of being Christ to the community and make it your own.
I think it's a hard thing for some people. I was just talking to a friend last night, and he still has a serve day packet with the $5 from last year.
Nice.
And just saying, like I feel like some people expect that they're going to spend the $1 or spend the $5 from last year, and that it's going to make a huge impact. You know, like, what can I do to, like, make the broadest impact? But honestly, like, yeah, that money is going to affect our community for the better, but I think that it's more of, like, an encouragement to that person to really cultivate that life of service that we've been talking about, and that don't go into it thinking that my $1 is going to buy someone a Big Mac and then I'm going to lead them to Christ right then and there. Like, that $1, doing what I do with it, is going to show them love, hopefully, and then it's going to spark something in me that says, okay, well, I can do it. Like, that wasn't that hard, or that wasn't that awkward, or anything. It just, like, will kind of be the beginning of, like, something really cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just gets the ball rolling in the thought process that, unless asked, maybe many people won't think about it. Like, I won't think about stuff like this unless someone says, hey, what will you do with this dollar? Yeah. Like, oh, I guess I'll do something. And it's just not something that everyone is naturally wired with, I think.
Yeah.
It's a good experiment, because I think if we had a bucket of $1 bills at the door and said, hey, everybody, grab a dollar and use it for serve day. Like, and we had the same amount of dollars. I don't think that many would have, I think there'd be a lot of dollar bills in that bucket at the end of the day. Yeah. But you put it in their hands. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you're physically giving them the Great Commission,
like, you know,
in some
action.
Way. Yeah. And it does kind of call them to action. But
Well, and I think that's what I was thinking, too, as I got up there. I'm like, I think, we noticed it last year, I think the awkwardness is like the weight of that.
For sure.
You know what I mean? It's people going, I don't know if I want this. And I don't. Yeah. Why are you doing this to me? You know, like, now I have to pause and reflect. And I think, you know, I'm a catalyzer, so I love that. You know, I love the change and, like, the initiation it takes on people. But so I think, you know, just kind of even logistical wise, we're going to be highlighting that over the next 3 weeks. God Stories and the Spiritual Formation Directors will be talking about it at your campus. So I think something to continue to process. And, you know, I think what I told the FIG folks is, I said, hey, just, like, really think, just pray. Just read over the packet, do the study, let God affect your heart, because he'll bring up something for you, you know? Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think most of it is actually going to be small.
For
it's
sure.
actually just going to be one little thing, but done with a little more intentionality than before. So, that's kind of a great sermon discussion, guys. And then up next, we're going to be talking with Kim File, so our special guest and birthday girl. So stay tuned for that.
Come on, skinny love, just let's sing it. To pour a little salt we will never hear. My. Staring at the sink of love across the needle.
Well, welcome back. We're in the interview section here. I got Kimberly File.
That's correct.
Along with the rest of the gang here. And I'm going to interview you right now. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. I am so ready.
In the hot seat.
That's right. That's right.
It's a birthday hot
Throwdown,
seat.
Throwdown, showdown.
So how do you do it? I mean, what do you do and how do you do it?
Well, that is a complicated question.
All
but
right.
The short answer is I work at the Well Community Church for the past 3.5 years. I've done all sorts of things there, but currently I am in the spiritual formation realm and the connections department, kind of dual role going on. And so specifically at the Fig Garden campus.
Okay. And you're married to to this guy?
No.
No?
Nope, definitely
Whoa,
not.
Oh, awkward. Awkward.
Yep.
Same last name,
ladies
though.
Yeah. That happened here.
Sister?
Sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law.
She's married to his brother.
See, this is how connected I am.
It's not going to lie. It's a little awkward. Yeah.
It's really awkward when I meet somebody with the last name Martinez, because then I assume, so this is your wife? Here's your husband? No. And then people just glare at me and they throw food. But it's what I'm used to.
Can put the food down.
Yes, yeah. Don't throw food. I apologize. Yes. So married?
Yes, to Brian File.
Brian File, okay.
He directs Neighborhood Thrift down in the tower.
Oh, yeah. Okay, very nice, yes. Very nice. So are you involved down there at all?
No, not at all.
Just separate.
Yeah, totally separate.
Get away from that guy during the business hours.
Yeah, no, we both live down there, but he kind of does that, and then I work at the Well, so...
Very cool. So Fresno based, born and raised?
No, born in Bakersfield. Oh, actually born in Los Angeles, then moved up to Bakersfield.
Keep going.
Going to Fresno, you know, maybe make our way to Portland someday.
That's good.
Just kind of heading up the chain.
Yeah, seriously. Canada, here we come.
Here we come.
That's good. So why Fresno?
Yeah, well, I went to Fresno Pacific University. It's one of the schools I actually got accepted to.
Go Wildcats.
Go Wildcats.
Sunbirds for life.
Just an inside joke we have here.
Okay. Yeah.
The Spouters.
That's cool. Everything's a Wildcat.
Went to Fresno Pacific. Mm-hmm. And then while I was there, I met Brian. And he just pursued me and would not stop pursuing me. And so we got married and just kind of stayed.
He finally convinced you?
Me it was a good idea.
Were you into him at the beginning or did it take a little convincing?
It took a little convincing. Yeah, the first thing he remembers is he asked me to one of our school dances. Uh-huh. And I said no. I mean, I had a very legit reason, but he was like crushed by that. And so then he just really had to turn on the heat and pursue me more. And finally I was like, man, there's something to this guy.
Nice.
Denise and I have a fun story. We were praying. We knew Kim.
Denise is your wife?
Denise is my wife.
Yes. Oh.
Yes. So yes. There
not
you go, Kevin.
Kim.
Yeah, not Kim.
Okay.
Got that just, yeah, wrote all that right. one down. But we knew Kim and Baker. We were both living in Bakersfield, going to the same church. And we were like, man, Kim would be a good fit for my brother. And they knew each other already from college, like she said. But we started praying in our journal and we wrote it down. We said, Lord, bring Kim and Brian together. And about, nice. I don't know, 6 months later, they ended up started dating. So.
That's cool.
And we got married. So it was really, I mean, they got married because we prayed for it. So I have special powers is what I mean.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You're righteous.
So you guys,
so connected to God. Yeah.
So you guys were all friends kind of before, and
FBU is so small that it's like you know everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you live on campus, it's like it's like going to a small Christian school, so, nice. Which is it is.
Have a question that we always ask each other in the Welly Deli when someone's new. So Kim,
yes,
your turn was you did it before me, but. when I heard the answer to this question, I was a bit surprised. So, can we ask the rest of the audience? Okay. So Kim, tell us what you were like in high school.
In high school, this was a time where, I was just really discovering about myself and, trying to figure out where I fit in. And, I went to, a predominantly Hispanic school, and where I was definitely in the minority, and so all my friends were Hispanic, and I loved it, but I really wanted to be Hispanic, and so I wore really, like, I just embraced the culture completely, and so you can't see me. You can't see me, but I'm blonde hair, blue eyes, and so, yes, I, for a long time, that was my culture.
Tell me about your getup. Tell me, describe this getup.
Well, I would slick my hair back and like poof my bangs really big and wear like dark maroon lipstick and heavy eyeliner.
There it is.
Nice.
Any hair in your eyebrows?
Yeah.
Just draw them out.
No. They were all natural, the eyebrows were. But yes, I mean, that is part of my history.
I guess your mom took a picture of it and then under it wrote, making choices.
Yes. I forgot to mention I had the super powdery kind of white face and so just this was really embraced it.
The 90s?
Yes, late 90s.
Yeah, that's because all the things you're saying, I'm like, yep.
Yep.
I have those people in my mind right now.
That was you, huh, Kevin?
Speaking of the 90s, I heard you're recently getting into something that is still from the 90s.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Some people would say it maybe died in the 90s, but rollerblading is a part of our culture even alive today. And just today for my birthday, I got some new bearings from Andrew,
Nice.
So he's going to put those on, and I actually rollerblade with your wife, Denise, and so
Nope. Strike that from the record. That's not true. I don't want that getting out there. She does not roll her voice.
So do you still have the skid pad on the back?
I do, but it's worn down so much that it's kind of metal right now, so I need to get a new one.
You need to get some scrapers for the middle so you can do pole slides.
Yeah.
Yay. He knows what he's talking about. And you got a bag.
I got a bag, a professional duffel bag that's made for rollerblades. And it says rollerblades.
And you recently met some people on the Woodward Trail, huh?
I did. Oh, I wish I could remember their name, but there is a club in Fresno of rollerbladers that get together on Saturdays at a park.
They're very lonely.
No way.
They are happy.
Cool, Andrew was hating on the bladers.
Don't hate blading on the blades.
Is alive and thriving.
Kevin, come on. Come on. Are you with me?
I want to do this so bad.
Exercise.
I have some neon green shorts that I need to break in.
Some spandex. Do
That needs to happen.
Fit right in.
And a headband. And the thickness that would be inside all that would just be amazing. It'd be nice. It'd be nice. The gut would be popping out in my neon.
Nice.
Just feels so good.
I'm sure that the Rollerblading Club will definitely ask you to join them.
I'll be on the t-shirt.
I mean, I found out, I didn't even know this, there are half marathons and marathons for people that rollerblade. And
really?
I mean, this is, in Napa, happening soon. So, I mean, this is a thriving community, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
That's impressive.
This is her element of inclusive community. So she's going to join the Rollerblade Club.
Perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Surf Day money.
Surf Day.
Yes.
Buy yourself a headband.
That's awesome.
Super cool.
I'm going to sponsor you with my dollar.
And okay. Your headband could say, I get in line with Jesus.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Boom. Oh, my mind. Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Patent
right?
or copyright.
Done. Team Rollerblade.
I don't all know of it. Which one.
Registered.
I've been researching those and it's still jumbled. It's so funny.
Well, not to take too much of a serious turn, but were you born in a Christian house? What did that look like?
Yeah, I was actually born into a Christian home. My parents always say they're super Christian. They're both on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ.
Very cool.
And so kind of was raised in a very multicultural environment. My parents... they basically trained missionaries before they went overseas. And so I kind of grew up in that atmosphere, but my faith didn't really become my own until one semester in college I studied abroad in Lithuania, random Eastern European country.
That's awesome.
And all my roommates were total non-believers, never even really heard of Christianity, like never met one. So it was a time where I was like, wow, my faith is my own. I have to explain it. Mm-hmm. I have to live it. And so that was a huge turning point in my life where I was like, all right, this needs to be mine, not just my parents. So
now, when you have to defend your faith against people and you don't have an advocate in the room for you, not only are you selling the people you're talking to, but you have to sell yourself.
Exactly.
I remember having to do that multiple times because when I was a kid, it was just, we're at church still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here. And and the moment you have to defend yourself, you go, whoa, I actually do believe this. Like
exactly.
I can argue with somebody about this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the linchpin for anything that I truly believe in, if I can argue with somebody.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. So that was in Los Angeles, the training, or that was in Bakersfield?
That was in Bakersfield. So we moved up and they started a basically Agape International training. So, this was 15 years ago where a lot of missionaries needed that training, like they weren't going overseas as much. And so... so they would come to Bakersfield and my parents with their staff team would train them in all sorts of cross-cultural experiences. Mm-hmm. And, we would spend time in Mexico to have them experience that. And it was a really cool way to grow up. I met people from all over the world and we traveled all the time. And it was a great experience.
That seems so much more legit than people saying, I have to go train for missions in Hawaii with YWAM. I think it's YWAM.
Yeah,
it's just
YWAM.
I mean, it's going to be real tough over there, but I know it's for the Lord, so I'm going to be praying a lot. So pray for me.
Mm-hmm. As I work on my tan.
Yeah.
And give me money.
Could you pay for that?
Yeah.
And I'd love your support and prayer, but if you happen to give me a check also, I wouldn't mind it. That's how I need my go. What does your role look like on a Sunday?
Good question. My role on a Sunday is kind of dual. I'm there intentionally seeking out life group leaders to connect with them, to touch base with them, see how their groups are going, how I can support them. But also as a connections director at FIG, my job is to really kind of oversee the teams that are serving on a Sunday. So making sure that, ADA's running, First Touch, Link, parking, all that kind of stuff is going smoothly. And also to be able to connect with
the volunteers that are serving on a Sunday, just to stop in and seeing how their life is going and being able to shepherd them as well.
That's a lot of people that you're kind of seeing over.
Yeah.
Do you have coaches also that work with life group leaders, or?
You know, right now we don't, not at mm-hmm. FIG. We're working on that. Mm-hmm. But I do have some great, in terms of connections, I have some great solid leaders in place on my teams mm-hmm. that are really pouring into their team and just like are taking it to a next level that, you know, because of my limited availability, they're able to take it to the next mm-hmm. level and really pour into these people's lives, which is so cool to see the church be the church and them to be able to use their gifts mm-hmm. in that way. So yeah, it's really cool.
And for our listeners who maybe have never been to the Fig Garden campus, what makes Fig different than North or Clovis or Kingsburg?
It's the coolest.
Other than that.
It's the coolest.
It is a pretty cool campus. It's definitely more just the campus itself, the atmosphere is much more traditional. We have stained glass and, you know, we have pews. And so you kind of feel like it's a much more traditional feel. But it's such a great feeling because we also, as you walk out into the sanctuary, we have this amazing courtyard area mm-hmm. that people just stay and talk and, you know, eat luncheon and drink coffee. And then we're even more spoiled because in the back of our campus, we have this huge grassy area with tons of trees and a playground. Mm-hmm. And lately we've been doing these things after church called spring fling. And so people have just been bringing their lunch and they just hang out and play volleyball. And it's great because it's shaded. So it's not super hot, but we're pretty spoiled over there.
That's cool. Really cool.
It's a really nice campus, especially for kids because they get that playground and stuff. Not exactly. That we don't have a playground here, but like it just, I don't know. I like swings. The Fig. It feels more old school. That's my neighborhood. So it's just like mm-hmm. it feels right over there.
Yeah.
Mm. Plus there's a lot of cement, which I gravitate to too. Yeah. It's the contrast. The grass and the cement.
That's deep. That's so beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
It's really, you know, that's where you see God is in the contrast.
Of the cement and grass.
Yeah, that's right.
Your new book coming out this fall.
The Contrast of Cement and Grass by Calvin Tin Can. Look exactly. for it. Mm-hmm. It'll be next to Carmen's CD. I'm sorry. Nice. This is what happens when I start rambling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I apologize. So what else?
Let's ask, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, wow. Good question. I see myself hopefully maybe having kids.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. At least.
I was pretty nervous.
I know. Right?
I
was
like, okay. I just got nervous you're about to, like, announce something or something on this podcast.
I'm surprised.
JK.
Yeah.
JK. Yeah, but, like, we have. You know, we're slowly building a little farm at our house. We have some chickens and a dog. So I could see ourselves adding some kids to that, maybe.
Cool. And, some and a garden. For the farm.
Yes, and a garden. Uh-huh. Yeah, we need some workers to start plowing the land and feeding the chickens and getting those eggs.
Grow those kids up.
It's cheap labor.
Yeah. It is. I agree.
Plus, they got those little hands.
They can get in little nooks and crannies you can't get into.
Handle the eggs really delicately. Yeah. The chickens.
Cool. Delicately.
Awesome.
That's good. That's good. I feel right. I feel right now.
Good.
Do you feel good?
Feel good. This has been great.
It feels good to me.
Well, happy birthday.
Yeah, kid. Whoa. Happy birthday.
Thanks for spending your birthday with us.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah, this is really fun.
Well, up next, I got no clue what we're doing, but we're going to go ahead and wrap it up right now, and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
I wish I could do better by you, because that's what you deserve. You sacrifice so much of your life in order for this to work. While I'm off chasing my own dreams, sailing around the world, please know that I'm yours to keep, my beautiful girl.
All right, and we are back for our last little time here together. Thank you for joining us. We have some announcements. First of all, Discovery is May 19th, so if you are interested in learning more about The Well or becoming family here at The Well, you can sign up all 9 sorry, online. I can't talk. And come on May 19th to the North Campus at 8:30, and we will give you breakfast and lunch. And it's an intro class into what we are about, and it is led by the Brad Bell himself. So come hang out with us then. Serve Day is going on right now. So if you'd like more information on that, you can visit us online at serveday.com.
Yeah. DEI.
Yes. Serveday.com.
And if you didn't pick up a packet, you can get one at the office, right?
Yeah. And we're going to have them at the campus as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Just to clarify, day is spelled DEI.
Yes.
Serve DEI.
Because day is Latin for God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just wanted to clarify. I just wanted to clarify.
Yes.
Good job. Thank you.
I see an angry woman at the keyboard. Angry old guy.
Why does it have to be a woman?
I switch it up. Or old guy. They said serve day DAI.
Oh, it's DEI. Okay.
I'm sorry. You're right. I tried turning the water into wine. I just bought a bottle. Not true.
So if there's stuff going on in your life group or in your family that you would like to share about what you guys are doing for Serve Day, you can write into that website and share your story. We would love to hear it. We'd love to be encouraged by that. We want to know what's going on. And last announcement is there are a lot of missions trips going overseas this summer. And in order to help raise money for that, we're having a tri-tip fundraiser. And what that is, you pay $40 and you get a meal for four, and it's a large tri-tip, rolls, and then two sides, and they're deciding what sides they're going to be. They're going to be like beans or green beans or corn or something like that. Those tickets go on sale May 6th at your campus, so buy a ticket, and then you'll get your meal on Sunday, May 20th. You can pick up your meal, so you can have it. Go for a picnic with your family or something. It will be great. We should do that, Jane.
So
I think that's it, unless I'm forgetting anything.
How can they tell them that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and you know, if you don't mind, go to our Facebook at facebook.com/spoutcast, and just, you know, you should write on the wall and just say how much you loved this episode.
So good.
Know that we are competent.
Yeah, yes. Capable hands. You ladies.
Capable.
Yes. They are capable hands.
These hands are capable.
Uh-huh. So visit us at facebook.com/spoutcast, or you can email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com. And we'd love to get your feedback or just join in on our conversation. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, this is The Spout. We are out.
Regrets collect like old friends, here to relive your darkest moments. I can see no way. And all of the ghouls come out to play. And every demon wants his pound of flesh. But I like to keep some things to myself. I like